Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and good afternoon, and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, October the 8th. Our headquarters is here in Atlanta, and we had a bunch of rain come in. We've also had, we got holiday coming up, so most of the panelists are taking care of personal business. So today we're just going to play one of the shows from previous. So if you will just hang in there and hold on, and you will be able to hear what we've been doing previously. So it should be fun. It should be
here. Hold on, and you will be able to hear what we've been doing previously.
Looks like I'm getting some echoes back on what I'm doing today. All right, so here we go.
So good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice on October 1st. I mean, this year to me is just probably October 1st and November, December in 2018, which just seems like time is passing fast, but a lot of things have been going on with the panel.
Power, and that's going to be a major problem, as you alluded to. I think one point it's going to be an issue we're going to have to deal with.
I do too. I could not do the show because we didn't have the right tools in terms of electronics to do it with. If radio and people down all over because somebody did something to cause that, the time it takes them to get back, we will all be in trouble. Ron, what do you think about?
Well, I can't disagree, but I do want to say that, you know, the fact that we're complaining about not having internet and Wi-Fi, I mean, I thank all my blessings every day that we're going through with the people in Puerto Rico and some of the other islands that were in the storm's path, including the Florida Keys. You know, people that are left homeless. And, I mean, in Puerto Rico, they're talking about being without electricity for months. Or more. I mean, so to complain about not having Wi-Fi, I understand your concern, and I agree that I think technology has made it in some ways easier for us to get on with our daily lives. For example, you know, I can deposit a check by just going on an app on my phone without ever having to set foot in the bank. However, when things go wrong, I think it is magnified. And it takes a lot longer to get back up and running because of all the technological issues. I still have no internet. I still have no Wi-Fi. I still have a down line in my backyard. And I don't even know how long it's going to take. They can't even get through to my backyard because of down trees. So who knows how long it's going to be. So, but, again, you know, it could be a lot worse.
I think one of the times we can have an issue. Frank, what are you using about?
Electronics in the United States. I agree with both parts of the conversation. What you've got going is an old infrastructure with your electronics, and nobody wants to pay the bill. And of course, the companies are not going to put money into the system because they're even more results, most part. But yeah, and then you take the Caribbean around, and they're going to be, you know, out. Reason 6 months or more, unless something is done about
radio. Right. I think, you know, I don't hear anybody saying anything about rating or anything. Just, you know, we were out and, you know, we'll get there. And it just seems like the people in Florida, they haven't got there. And so the timing is down. I mean, we're talking about people starting war. You know, a thought that we should be thinking about.
Well, it's going to happen there. That's exactly one of the first things you take out. You take out all the electronics, light bursting, you know, the weapons, and then you have no communication.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we can't get it fixed for some years if they do it like they want to. Bruce, what are you going to say?
I apologize for being a few minutes late, but I just picked part of your conversation so I can effectively contribute. What was the essence of the question you asked?
It just seems that the grid of getting power back to the people had taken a lot of time, but I was always under the impression that I think with people I talked to, that the United States, all we had to do is put up and get things and everything come back on. But it seems like with all the technology we have, assuming that we're there, but I think we're behind the curve in terms of adding more electronics and power that we're not there. It's taking too long for some cities and states to get their people, the citizens back working. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you this. It broke a little bit, but I think I got to it, David. I spent years in Puerto Rico and also a little in the Houston area, but I think if I heard you right, with a number of the traditional infrastructure systems kind of on the electronic side in trouble, that they really don't want to invest on rebuilding all the old way. And I've heard talk, particularly from people I know down in Puerto Rico, that they're going to try, they may possibly try to bring that kind of infrastructure back up in the
the tower, mobile phone, wireless arena, so that they literally steer away from the traditional ones. Did you hear that?
But in Puerto Rico, there were some people in the government there that said it looked like the apocalypse had gone through Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah,
Puerto Rico being up, you know, 6 months down, if they're still trying to get power, I would be surprised the way that I've seen it work here, you know, on mainland.
Yeah, you're right. It will be mostly months. It'll be half or whole year before they're even close to having reestablished down there.
But I think that's something to keep in mind, because I think most people that I've talked to, most United States, think that, you know, we're at a point where now it won't take but a couple days to get things back up. I think we're not there. I think before, when, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I had to put the wires up and you were back. That is not what's happening anymore. It just seems like technology is putting time. When, as kids, I mean, we're in school, I think technology puts you ahead. We used to hear the space, we're going to get there, and everything's going to be like a click of a switch. I think that's not happening. But can it happen?
Sort of a sanctuary, and it has because I think the church in general has lost touch with this generation. In our generation, David, my parents and grandparents, I like to say, had a drug problem. They took me to church. It was mandatory. And the thing is, now the church has lost touch with that younger generation and fighting differently to get them back because of so much corruption through the years. The killing in the church has always been there. It's just not, it wasn't publicized like it is. Instant communication, social media, radio, television. But it's always been like that in the church. But the thing is, we're losing a generation. That's the point of me.
We're losing a generation.
Can I answer what I'm saying? Couldn't agree with you more, but I think the church is a safe place vessel. Used to be. It is, doesn't seem to be anymore. Where our thought process within those walls and within that thought process of being somewhat respectful and religious at some point of the week, some point of your day, people behave differently. Until we, as you had said before about our heart condition, until we get back to the very thing that we say, the only way we're going to solve the ISIS and the overseas terrorist problem is through changing a thought process and a mentality. Big mountain to climb may never get to the top, but that's truly the way it's going to change. Well, it's the same thing here. There's a lot of things that we're not guiding our youth and getting them to understand the value in religion or the value in believing in something greater than you. And without that, I think a lot of them are really lost in these still voids with all kinds of crap. If I may use that word.
Yeah, I agree, Bruce. And, you know, it's going to take a day process with people of faith like us, because when you're climbing a mountain, there are rocks in the process of climbing a mountain, or it's a slippery slope. So it's going to take work. It's going to take puffy stones and rocks before we can get to the top. So we got some work to do.
Or and let me add something. I remember just this morning about that very point, Don, and it made a lot of sense based on what you said too. And the comment was, if we have a smooth go in life and have no bumps or rocks to step on, high points and low points to put our feet in along the way climbing the mountain, you'll never get to the top because you keep sliding down. And I thought that was very profound.
Yes, yes.
You need the trials to help mold you, but I still think, and I blame my generation and the ones in now and then that we're still who have a communication problem. We're not talking to each other. We're not connecting with the youth so we can at least explain to them what we know. They can decide whether they want to accept it or not, but we're not even doing that right now well enough for them to understand.
Bruce, you always talk about the communication, and I think that is what's missing. We have lost the ability to communicate with each other, and America has a heart problem. We hide behind Facebook, Instagram, and cell phones. We don't know what it's like to say, hey, Bruce, what you said the other day really hurt me and affected me. Let's talk about this and see if we can come to some common ground and read it together. I mean, we've lost that touch, man. We got to get back to that touch.
And people, even though it might be scary to do, people will respond to you almost without question in a better way. We won't say the exact way you want them to, but in a better way, if you
can look at them face to face, or say, the example you just said, sit down. It's not you I'm upset with, it's what you did, or you might be upset with what I did. But the only way we're going to work out is to talk to each other face to face and understand what the circumstances were, so we can either agree to disagree or agree on something that we can move forward on. We're just not doing that very well anymore.
Okay, so my question to you would then be, it seems that the people that are having babies are the ones that we're talking about that don't talk, that tradition. And they're not going to listen to anybody telling them how to treat themselves when they're 21 and above, or 18 and above these days, or 16 and above these days. They don't listen, but they're training the new babies. So my question is, how do you think you're going to do that? Because I think you lost them. Tell them they need to go out and talk. They don't know that.
Well, David, you got to use the right words. And even the words as innocent as talk to offend some people. We got to be smart enough. We're supposed to be the adults in the room, or the ones with more experience. We won't say smarter or dumber, just with more experience. And we ought to use it. You've got to very carefully pick your words with whomever you're trying to communicate with, and it's different for every group, every person. You got to size that person up and find the right words so it doesn't feel to them like you're either attacking them or saying that I know you don't or anything like that, but that, hey, I'm here to help, and I'll be here as long as you want me to help. And even if you don't think you do, I think you're valuable enough that I'm interested in you. Not that you're better than them, or they're in trouble and you're not. But it's like it's a team, and if the team's in trouble, maybe I'm the team players or the teammates that can help you. So you got to be very, very careful on how you pick your words, particularly now. Sensitive to that.
I would like to know how you're going to convince me to pick a word to tell me that it's easier for me to go down the street with someone than me not to come and ask them how they're doing.
Yep, I can convince you of that. I know I could. I'm not so sure I can do it on the phone, but I can get one-on-one, Mr. David, that doesn't think he knows the difference between that. I will at least explain to Mr. David the value in that, and what you'll learn from it, and what might grow out of it. And you'll teach me something about your generation. And by the time you finish the Mountain Dew or the cup of coffee or something like that, sitting on the porch or wherever it is, I'll have made an impression on you. I guarantee you I will have.
You're going to have to try it. I have a bunch of kids I know that you would like to talk to, and you can listen to me. Their phones. John, what do you think about this?
Oh man, where to start? I mean, we first started talking about respect, and you know, there's just no respect anymore. I mean, you're seeing it with the players, the NFL, on football fields, and baseball players now, and. So, you know, I was sitting here kind of thinking, oh, that, yeah, you know, you've got these churches and things like that where these shootings are happening, and I'm going in a completely, totally different direction. And it's like, why is it happening at churches? Why does it happen on college campuses? And, you know, I look at it, most of these places are gun-free zones, and they're easy targets. And most people that go in there to do this type of stuff know that the people aren't going to be able to defend themselves. And, you know, so getting to the thing that you, you know, do we have respect for each other and that, but you've also got a bigger issue too that, you know, if there was somebody in there that was able to defend themselves, that person there, who obviously you're not going to get to, you're not going to change his way of thinking their way. I didn't hear about it, so I don't know how many people were shot. I don't even know where it happened. You know, at least if somebody there could have, remedied the situation before it got worse, I think that's where, you know, most people have to start thinking. And same thing with the power grid and stuff. I mean, you know, we've a whole house generator. I've got gasoline generators. I keep about 50 gallons of gas at the house. All of our vehicles are always full. You know, so Michigan, luckily, you know, the worst thing we have here are tornadoes. And we'll get the occasional blizzard, but snow melts. And so we don't go through hurricanes and 190-mile-an-hour winds and stuff like that, but we're prepared here in case, you know, something does happen. And so I think that's, you know, you just, it's getting down to the point where you're just going to have to look out for yourself and do what you think and act the way you think you're going to be able to protect yourself and, you know, be able to stay alive if something happens.
That's right.
Okay.
Hey, John, Mr. Bruce. Let me go back to an age-old question I always ask. In the middle of a hurricane or a catastrophic problem like we've been having, why has it been, I'd like to, I think I know the answer, but why has it been people almost without hesitation or reservation will help each other? It's got nothing to do with who they are, what, how much money they make, what color they are, they live, or anything. They'll just drop everything and help, which is absolutely good. But why do you think we've been able to maintain that kind of stability?
Well, I think you have to look at the communities where the helping was going on. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of the coverage, but I did see, you know, people that weren't affected by it from other states that were coming down with, you know, trailering boats and stuff. And then I saw the other side where you had looters and riots and things like that going on. So, if you ask me, to be perfectly honest, I think it has to do with what the different communities were instead of the people in the communities. There are people that were out there, you know, looking to gain for themselves, and there were people out there that were in different areas that were, you know, out there to help other people, you know, help them out and you know, try to get them back on their feet again.
All right. You have any other questions there, Ruth?
No, we're not the
host. We'll move on. One of the things that John talked about was support NBA and NFL and the president. You know, I think I'm with this team, the president should do it, let him go first. And the fact that he's always talking about people and getting into trouble, there's no major legislation that has passed this man.
which are black people, they tend to want to take advantage of it. And everybody has their way of doing things. So that's the biggest platform that they have. And yes, they're paid by the team. But without the players, the teams are nothing either. So, you know, as I look at it, without a good player, the team is garbage.
Well, the president won't fire the team.
It's like, without players, they don't want money.
Why is the president taking in this? Why is he bringing down special people in? When Tom Brady decided he didn't want to go to the White House, president of anybody. But now, the two people he picked up, and he wants to, you know, put their name out there.
I disagree with his comment. I think that, you know, yes, the NFL teams are paying the players, but at the same time, you still have a right to speak on something that's important to you, which is what we stand for as the United States. So, and it's like, yes, you guys, yes, the NFL teams are making money, but at the same time, it's a business. It goes all around. The commissioner's making money, the NFL owner's making money, and the players are making money. So let it be that a number of players decide not to play anymore or not play that day. Let's see how much money you guys lose.
What about you? I know that you have some questions there. Hey, John, what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because I hear that, you know, the players have their right to be able to, their free speech to be able to do what they want to do, but yet everyone's criticizing the president for making his comments and his feelings known as if he doesn't have the right to express his First Amendment right. So it seems like we just want it to go one way with the players, let them, their voice is heard, but yet when someone in power makes the voice their opinion, well, then that's wrong automatically. So, you know, looking at this, you know, the flag of the United States
I think that Mr. Trump gave comment towards that situation. I understand if he says, I don't think it's right, something needs to be done about it, other than the United States. That's just like saying the football player says, Kevin Kaepernick, oh, they're obviously. He died. He should be killed for what he did. He just killed the guy innocently. He should die. You wouldn't make that harsh comment yourself, right?
Well, yeah, but you still have the right to be able to make those comments.
But
that's what I'm trying to say.
You don't threaten someone's livelihood in their life. There's two things you don't do. You don't threaten. So that's just like somebody tells you, oh, you disrespect me today, John. You're going to lose your business. You don't threaten someone's livelihood in your life. That's point blank and simple to me. And
well, I think.
So this is to make the call like, oh, you shouldn't be employed if you're going to do such things. You shouldn't be an owner, or you shouldn't even have all those businesses. He's done a lot of things that he's done over the years.
Well, that's true, but the football players are actually employees of the team. You know, so what they're doing, let's say you go to work tomorrow and you want to protest, you know, something at work against, let's say you work for Mobil Oil. Want to protest, you know, shipping oil across the oceans because a ship could crash and we have an oil spill or something like that. Do you think the company would have the right at that point then if you don't follow what they believe in and what their livelihood is that they could then, you know, you could be fired?
If that's the case, why haven't the owners done something about that? Why we haven't seen a lot of more players?
Well, I think you're going to start to see it because I've heard that there are. I think the Dallas Cowboys were one of the first teams where Jerry Jones has said that, you know, if you don't stand, you're going to be fired. I didn't watch football this week. I don't. And to be perfectly honest, I don't care for NFL. I don't care for the NBA. I watch Bill and Tiger. Well, I mean,
I want Jerry Jones love football. He loves football. I don't want to see five of his stars not stand if it's a freaking game.
Do you realize the NFL banned the Dallas Cowboys for supporting the police association and the police officers by having a sticker on their helmet? They wouldn't allow that. The NFL also wanted to find people after 9/11 for having 9/11 shoes. And we all laughed at Tim Tebow when he'd pray on the sideline giving a knee. And now where's Tim Tebow at? He got run out of the NFL. How's that any different?
Well, I don't
I don't know. I mean, he's great, but I don't think that was a reason. He kind of sucked as an internet quarterback.
Well, so did Colin Kaepernick.
But I think he was still a lot better than Tebow was.
Yeah, but compared to what's out there right now, if the Kaepernick was a good enough player, somebody, some team would have picked him up. Hell, the Philadelphia Eagles or whoever it was, booed Santa Claus. They'll pick him up, you know.
Remember, they picked up Michael Vick after being jailed for a number of years. So, for anybody, but if the they're making a point for
that in the NFL. Kaepernick
is a great quarterback. And then I'm going to tell you something else, John. You need to focus on sports that you know something about. You just said that you didn't know anything about our support football.
I didn't say I don't watch it.
We have the most powerful platform in the world, President of the United States of America, and you say openly. And call a player a son of a bitch about his mama across the world. That should not come out of your mouth.
It doesn't bother you, John.
It's okay to the Republican.
Well, it has nothing to do with being a Republican. It has to do with respect for the flag. I mean, you have people who have died.
Would you say that, John?
What?
You call a person a son of a bitch?
Oh, yeah, I would. If you're going to sit there, I'm paying you money to entertain me. I don't care what politics are, okay? You're out there for 4 hours.
Answer my question.
I did. I said, absolutely, I would call him a son of a bitch. I think a bunch of assholes sitting there, they look like childish little clowns. If you're going to sit there, that flag is a representation of an entire nation. Individuals making up one nation. That flag has nothing to do with the President of the United States. It has nothing with Congress. That flag represents people. People who bust their ass every day, they go to work 9 to 5. They bust their ass going to war so we can keep our freedoms. Everybody talks about First Amendment rights and everything else. Who gave that to you? The servicemen who have died and have their coffins draped with that same flag you want to sit on, shit on, and throw away and disrespect on a Sunday afternoon. So you want to get me heated? Hell yeah. Piss me off about the American flag and what it stands for.
Now, okay, let's talk about it.
The American flag stands for that.
That's not the issue. That's not even the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is the stance that he's making. And it's against Donald Trump, John. It's not against
Trump. Oh, come on. Everything's against Donald Trump. Just because. You guys lost the election. Nobody wants to work with Donald Trump. You know what? But everyone can have their rights, you know, their freedom of expression. You know, there's an actual rule in the NFL rule book that players must stand on the sideline, attention, with their helmet in their left hand at the singing of the Star Spangled Banner. Now, for somebody who doesn't know a lot about football, I found that tonight. It's in the rule book.
2012, and that's because they're getting paid.
How long does that?
To show patriotism.
As a military person, I think you would be pissed off that people are disrespecting the same flag they fought for.
I'm not, and I've been in a few wars, and I'm not. Okay, I fought for people to be whatever sexual perversion they want to do, or whatever preference, or whatever they wanted to stand for the flag or sit down for the flag. That's what I fought for. Okay. Years, so I've got a few years of doing that. So it's a bunch of BS to indicate this patriotism is a crop of elephant dung, okay? Because let me just tell you right now that we're not one indivisible country. And what the president has done, in my estimation, yesterday by calling this guy a bitch, what he has done is he's created another war in America, and he's going to have a war in Asia going on. He's going to have one in the Korean Peninsula. He's going to have one going on with many countries and many other facilities.
So I just see this as a calamity. It's a total calamity. And I see that you're going to have baseball players, you're going to have football players, you're going to have volleyball players, you're going to have swimmers all taking a knee and protesting. All right? Their protest specifically is against the President of the United States. The protest that Kaepernick was involved in, he was trying to bring attention to police brutality in this particular country that we live in against black people and minorities and brown folks. Okay, that's what he was doing. Now, Muhammad Ali went through the same deal when he was coming up, okay? So this is not an unusual event for America. This guy, Trump, didn't even serve in the armed forces. He doesn't know a doggone thing about fighting. He doesn't know a doggone thing about making relationships. He doesn't know a doggone thing about religion. He doesn't know a doggone thing about being a good human being. All right? That's the president we have. And I think he basically dropped dumb on our nation last week.
Now, you got to look at these guys as being entertainers, and they're employees of a company. And when they go out there and disrespect the flag that's paying them the money that they're paying, I mean, from what I've seen and heard, the ratings are down, just like you said, attendance is down. I've seen comments on Facebook where people are getting rid of their DirecTV football pass. And, you know, so
I'm boycotting the NFL professional football because treatment of captain. All right,
I am too.
And the reason why I'm doing it because I have grandchildren, I have cousins, I have nephews, and I'm making a stand. All right, and not only will I have opportunity, I'm going to also drop one or two knees as well, and it's going to continue. If it pisses somebody off, guess what? They're just going to get kicked off. So that's where we are in the United States now with the president we have. And like I said, from my perspective, we are at war.
And John, I pray to God that you never call me your employee.
Well, I think my employees would have a little bit more respect working for me to even do that.
Well, you better hire machines.
Well, that might, believe me, what they do with their $15 an hour and stuff, that's exactly where we're heading.
I want to, we got time for that, a couple of other issues. We've been gone here, so we got other issues, but I want to talk about the DACA move that you made. How many people here understand DACA? But it is deferred action for childhood arrivals. So kids that came here as babies and here, they have to leave the country. What do you think about that, Ron? Is he there? Ron? He must not be listening. Bruce, what do you think about that?
In what regard? What's going on?
Children should be forced to leave the country? The immigration policy, but here illegally.
They were brought here illegally under no knowledge of their own. Sometimes even it was in a mother's womb, they're automatically a citizen. But I get all that. But we have to, and I really don't think as crude and rude as Trump can be at times, I don't think for a minute he's going to deport them. However, we've got to find a way, because you look at all the people that have done it according to the rules and regulations, and we are a country of rules, laws, and whether it's law or not, that's the basis of a lot of what we're supposed to be doing while we become lawless, and you know what comes after that. So, they will figure out a way, but the shorter answer is those children, now adults, are not going to be rounded up and deported back to wherever they don't even know another country in these cases, and you've heard that. But it makes me testy and gets me the thing in my head is no, we don't have anybody being adults to try to figure out, or if they are, they're sure hiding this from us. Where they sit down and say, look, we all know that this should be this way. It's unrealistic. No, we've gone too far. So what do we do to fix it on both sides? The people that are here so they can stay, and the people that are upset about what about the ones that are playing the rules. We have to figure out a way for this group that is able to stay here in a way that compromise the C word that everybody can at least accept. And I don't hear that. I barely hear that dialogue on. A little bit here and there. But it's almost like as soon as it comes up, it gets smothered.
Answer me this. Why is it that every time you see them protesting this DACA, the individuals that are illegal, or why aren't they holding American flags, but they always hold Mexican flags? If you don't know any other country, it's sure interesting that they always seem to have that Mexican flag.
Well, John, I agree with you in the fact that nobody's acting well. As I heard everybody talking about the subject we just closed, I don't really want to open it again, but why is it that we always have to use, let's call it protest, or show our discontent in something? Why does it always have to be a negative action? Do you imagine the impact, for example, those people that come to protest or in your mind should be carrying the American flag? And I don't totally disagree with that. If they're treating they kill America, so be it. Wouldn't it be great if people that want to protest something or want to draw attention to their cause went out and did something positive, and then in some way said, look, I'm a positive influence in this country. I deserve a place here. I don't want to be in front of the line. Teach me or show me how I can stay. You don't see that kind of protest, do you?
No, absolutely not. And I have absolutely no problem with those that are working and they have their life established, because when my ancestors came here, that was the exact same thing. They had to be sponsored before they could even leave Poland, get here, and the family that they were coming to live with had to take financial responsibility for them. They could not go on assistance and that type of stuff. And so, my relatives and ancestors, I mean, they were working 2, 3, 4 jobs, you know, to be able to stay here because they love the freedom of living here. You're not seeing that today. Hey, this is, you know, what's being advertised is that, you know, America's the great money machine here. All you got to do is make it across the border, and you're going to get free school, free health care, free, you know, this, free that, every, you know. So, yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, we're certainly stirred up by one side or the other, or both sides. It changes from cause to cause, item to item, week to week. And it's always a negative approach to things. Beat somebody up, offend somebody that so I can get their attention. Why can't we get somebody's attention? We can. I don't want to hear that we can't. We can get somebody's attention, if it's the White House, by making a positive protest. This graph about everything, and I'm generalizing a little bit here, gentlemen, about protest always has to be negative. No. Going back to say as valiant and as positive as Luther King, for example, and Gandhi and people like that, you know, they protested, but they didn't protest the way we're doing it now. And
I'd like to object to that. Let me just, Martin Luther King was thought of during his times. The same as Kaepernick is thought of today, with the same era. Okay? So that's the deal. It only gets the only change that makes in the life of the person. He had much difficulties even depending on how they were now. Less known the love you're trying to indicate. Just like buying guns is the individual, an individual that protests has the same right that person came before the second. Just like people who protest are people that do not have power. Powerful people spend lots of money and influence congressmen and presidents to go do things a certain way. All right. The country, this particular country, allowed for years. When I grew up in Iowa school, for years, the immigration from European countries was a high set of numbers. And That's because those people were white, and it was a low set of numbers from people from South America and from brown nations. So that's been one problem in the United States. The United States is interested. A number of people are interested in choosing the climate of the country in Washington, and that's the problem with DACA students. There are kids DACA students that are here. These are people that are going to school that are in universities, colleges, or public education who are doing well in school. So the fact that the president just decided, hey, I'm going to upset your apple cart and upset your world, was only about appealing to his base with his falling political numbers. And his numbers have went up to 40%, I guess, popularity. And political, by the way, it's only had a small dwindling of numbers, and those numbers started dwindling during the last election cycle. So it has not been a big fall off. So let me tell you what this is about. In our nation, it's about color, and that's what the problem is right today. That's whether it be with the current statement that he made in Alabama, the reason why he made it in Alabama, he knew they would beat that up and suck that up, just like he has a bigoted attorney general, just like he was called a racist earlier in the week by a sportscaster who he then said that sportscasters doing their job. So we are now pretty much down the slide of racial conflict, and it's based on ethnic as well as racial conflict. That's what we're
on. I have a solution. Let's go back to the same theory that we talked about before. How do we climb a mountain and get past this DACA situation? Sure enough, we made a choice. We let this group of people into the country. Why don't we give them a moratorium and put a rock there, climb the mountain? Those students might have the cure for cancer. Those students can be those citizens that John talked about of the Polish nationality. Those students could be the savior of our country. Let's draw a line there and say, okay, you're in. Now, here's the new rules for anybody else coming in. I can't set the parameters like that.
John, you're trying to do something in a positive vein, and I think most people would be on your side. But if you do it where you just say, snap your fingers and say, you're all in, you were a special case, blah, 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 I think then you've got a whole other group of people that are trying to, you know, try doing it the right way that might object. And my only comment of bringing that up then is part of the compromise should be address all factors and all those that are trying to be American citizens. If indeed these people are just instantly let stay, maybe don't become American citizens for a period or whatever, that's all part of the compromise. But that's a positive dialogue approach that you finally get to something we can all kind of live with at least. I don't see that happening. And what you said, if you did just that alone, you know there'd be a bunch of people that have been trying for years to do it the right way. They'd be all of that. And the way we seem to solve things now, then they're going to march in the street, do this and that. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but you know where I'm going with that comment. We've got to make sure these supposedly smart men and women we put in those high-power positions in the legislature, put their heads together and really do something. That's become almost impossible. Neither side, neither believes, no one will work with each other anymore. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. That's getting out of control. I'm going to bring that one to a close because we only got like 7 minutes left in the show. And there's so much going on, but one of the things that I want to have a little bit of discussion on is Korea. I think we've been spending a lot of attention on the bombs that have been coming over I think they're going over South Korea, and I think they went over Japan or something. But that's not my point. My point is,
that is not one of the major issues that is in the back of my mind. What's in the back of my mind is North Korea has a large collection of nerve kits, with nerve kits, GS-15, which is a chemical weapon. So my feeling is, yeah, they have these bombs, and yes, we need to keep an eye on it. And nobody is telling us, nobody has told America about the large amount of nerve gas that they have been looking for, that they have there. What do you think about North Korea at all? What are your thoughts on the team, doing, all that?
You get really dangerous. I'm not
saying you're already dangerous.
I'm hearing
you. I said, I think you're already dangerous.
Yeah.
Because we're, the last president said, called the guy, what did you call him?
Little rocket man.
Oh, wow. How do we keep him? Yeah. I didn't work with this president, but he keeps throwing these dicks out to cause problems. And
why is
he
not
the president?
Why
are you supposed to stop that by the time he gets to sixth grade? You're not supposed to call names after the sixth grade.
Exactly.
Why do you want to get personal with this thing?
Which is causing us problems in the United States. I just don't understand
it. I thought Don said he would be a great guy to help us build back the economy. He's very professional.
Yeah.
He's a money head. But what's wrong with his mouth?
Helena, I don't know if you've looked at your 401k or your SEP plans or everything else, but I'll tell you what, I'm very happy with the way the economy has turned around. Michigan's unemployment is on its way down again, and we've got jobs coming back. I mean,
the dangerous part is the war. When a bomb drops, I'll see what you got to do 401k.
you think North Korea can destroy the United States?
I don't put nothing past that young man.
I would like to know what maybe you guys so critical of Clinton when he gave him $4 billion to stop their nuclear program.
Hey, anything, the way this nuclear agreement is working is that whatever agreement they make is to slow down the guys' production capability, whether it be Iran or North Korea. Buys time. That's what they're trying. You can't stop these guys from having a nuclear weapon because they're sovereign governments. So we try to buy time and maintain relationships with this guy. I don't think the guy can destroy the United States, but I think he can cause people in the United States to die in North Korea. I think he can take care of millions of other people. And guess what? Millions of other people that actually going to die as a result of war. And the other millions and millions that are going to be injured that require hospitalization, we United States are going to pay for that. We're going to pay for that
through our tax
money. That's the issue right there. You know, so you don't engage people with the type of communication stuff from you by appropriate advice not to do that. But he does the donor according to the North Koreans, okay? And I think they're classification of them, in my mind, has been accurate from the because I can't explain anyone that which is really true. The only thing is right here, most people would punch him in the face. All right, and the only thing stopping him from punching him in the face is when he has the armed forces of the United States.
Well, I want to thank you for listening once again to the Man Voice. We'll be back again live next week at 6 o'clock here on this podcast show. So all of you, have a nice week. Enjoy your week and have a wonderful Columbus Day tomorrow. See you next week.
Thank you.